Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm shifter today is really shifting huge paradigms and is helping us all shift paradigms of limitation in our own ways of thinking. And I'm so honored to present to you Chris Griscom, author of many, many books, actually author of New Realities in Her Human Potential, and the creator of the Light Institute, a place where many people have gone to open up to their multidimensional self. So I'm so honored to have you here, Chris.
It's my honor, Veronica, to join with you and everyone that you so beautifully bring up to higher octaves of consciousness.
Thank you. Higher octave of consciousness. I love that so much. Now, talking to you, I have a whole list of areas I want to explore with you, because you do push the envelope. So many of us have felt confined by being human beings. Your entire world, many, many years ago, I read Ecstasy is a New Frequency, and it really shifted huge levels of my inner self. And you're actually renowned for writing and presentations that absolutely release people, or bring them out of a sense of confinement. So I want you to talk about anything you want, but we'll go into things like Eco SOS, your approach to global warming, and your approach to chemtrails, and your approach to some of the terrifying things, even politically, that we can use as what you refer to as galactic beings, which we should explain to people at home as well. I'll let you do that. So why don't we do it? We'll zero in on that. Say, being galactic beings, what kind of influence can we have on some of these huge areas of turmoil going on in the planet right now?
You mean as galactic beings?
Yes. Once we adopt that awareness in ourselves, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I have a new blog that's called We Galactics, because all my life I have been aware, of course, that we're not alone in the cosmos, and that we actually hold galactic genetic encoding, galactic DNA, because, of course, we're part of a galaxy. So obviously then we are galactics. Everything in the universe is made of carbon atoms, as are we. So we are a part of the stars, a part of the planets, a part of everything. And so what has come to me through my own higher self, which is, you know, your own inner voice or the intuitive essence of the soul, is that it's very much time now to begin to harvest that connection, that innate aspect that we have. We need some new solutions on this planet.
We sure
and
do.
Those solutions can come through connections with galactic energies or consciousness, or more advanced technologies for energy use, et cetera, et cetera. But they cannot do this for us, because we are them, and we must awaken to that so that we can harvest those deep, deep recognitions of the laws of cosmic energy. And so that's why I'm really focusing on that right now. What would that mean? It would simply mean that we would begin to call into us or awaken inside us our galactic DNA. What I've found when I've done this in the past is to stimulate this galactic DNA, to awaken it inside our structure, our genetic encoding. And what happens is people start to, first of all, begin to see the world and reality from an expanded, multidimensional way. That takes us out of a lot of fear. It allows us something that's so important to humans, which is to belong. We need to feel that we have a purpose, or that we belong to something.
And we belong more to the universes than we do to this particular culture that we've got here that's confining, do we not?
Well, we absolutely do. And we have many different, of course, universal cultures and cosmic strains, just as we do here on this planet. But the important thing is to realize that as we access that kind of energy, as we allow it to to awaken in us that suddenly we get new ideas, we get new inventions, we get ways. First of all, the main thing is that we get out of our little small boxes.
Well, first of all, how do we access it? Can we choose to access it, or do we need to do some specific things? Yeah.
Well, choosing, of course, is very helpful. We have a set of sessions that is about activating that, in which we actually allow ourselves to perceive that galactic DNA and trigger its awakening through our higher selves, and then move into experiences of that. It's very interesting. You know, the Light Institute uses an incarnational format, incarnations of the soul, and not all of our embodiments are human.
Oh.
And it's quite amazing for people to discover that you may have, for example, I would say that more than 70% of the people on the planet at this time are having simultaneous lifetimes. That doesn't mean there's another one of you walking around, but it means there's a part of your soul that is embodied in another dimension, in another frequency, in a galactic framework, perhaps. And so often, Veronica, people probably like you who are born with special gifts will often say, well, I don't belong to this family, or I'm so different from everyone else, and feel alone, or feel that they have to be careful about their, you know, their inner world.
That's so true.
And so, absolutely. And so what this work does, and what this conversation, the purpose of this conversation, is to say to us all, but of course, you can belong here. You've chosen your parents. You've chosen your race, your culture for karmic purposes. But that's not the whole story. And so when we have that sense of alienation or separation, once someone begins to see, oh, I have galactic DNA or divic DNA, it allows them not to justify why we're different, but it allows us to bring our differentness into our reality, into our lives. And that gives us a sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people will say, what is my worst deep conversation echo inside myself? I am not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I am not worthy. You know,
or I'm wrong.
I would say, yeah, or I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where that comes from is that from the primordial times on this planet, again, if you weren't chosen, you didn't survive. So there's still what I call psychogenetic, which means we have a genetic encoding that's not just physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual. That has imprinted us that says, you better not be wrong or you'll be blamed. You better be a part of the group or you'll not survive. What's happening on the planet right now, which is a great opportunity for all of us, is to really free ourselves from that conversation of, I have to survive. Because underneath the fear of being chosen or being successful or being safe is that conversation of survival. So
I want to interrupt just for a sec. I wanted to clarify something that I'm cogitating, which is a lot of us who don't belong in the family actually belong as the not belonger. I often cogitate lately that it's like sometimes we're there to rip the fabric of the family to actually possibly lead the way out, even for them, even though they might even hate us for it. Does that make sense?
You know that in my work, if you're under 25 and you're going to look at your incarnations of the soul, we always start by clearing the parents to find out what were the imprints that you are working on, because our parents we travel with again and again, they are our lovers 100% of the time, both of them. They are our teachers, they are our children. And so they are the squeezing format of who we're going to become. They tell us who we're going to become, and that influences us. So indeed,
so even pushing you out is a way of squeezing you so that you have to command your own reality. Is that right?
Well, yes, that's called the funnel of initiation.
Mm.
They push you out so that you can discover what is true for you.
But they don't
and
know
again,
any better.
But
sometimes.
We have to go full circle there. You might feel alienated from them or separate or rebellious, and then they push you out, you know, like a bird pushing the baby bird out of the womb, out of the nest. Mm-hmm. And but it's not about getting away from them or getting away from your culture. It's about expanding out so that you can bring back anything that can help them. I was just writing in my...
That's actually very helpful. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Good. I was just writing this morning in my We Galactics blog, and I was talking about how I have found that certain galactic groups have been altered by their feeling that they had created us, let's put it that way, or manipulated our genetics in certain ways, and that they themselves were created. And the example that I used is that the creator is changed by its creation. And the best example of that is, think about this, parents are changed and they grow through their children.
That's true, isn't it? You've had 6 children. Mm-hmm. You ought to know about that,
yes,
too, eh?
I do. I'm actually a great-grandmother.
How wonderful.
A great-grandmother now. And so, absolutely. But I've seen this in all the people. I've been doing this kind of work for 62 years. Mm-hmm. I'm a very young person.
But actually, that's true, isn't it? When we get on and on, the more you release and the more you expand into being more and more galactic, there is a rejuvenation, mm-hmm, in that, isn't there?
There's a tremendous rejuvenation. Imagine that, first of all, in this world, our human genetics are 120 years, and we're not doing well with that. And I have a lot of, I'm probably going to go back to a book that I started that shows the way through that. So we have 120 years that does not demand that we are sick, that we die of accident or disease or any of those things. And then, as galactics, that expands. It expands tremendously because time is completely different. The arc of time is different in the cosmos.
Does that mean that we can move out of this particular Earth plane incarnation easily and revivify our sense of being alive by
Absolutely.
Choice and move into galactic
That's right.
realms?
Hmm? That's right. In those galactic realms, what we want to do, again, is to bring them into the third dimension, because we need to awaken to the wisdom and the information that we have. When I was a child, my great-grandfather lived with us for a while. He was 72. And he would pull me out at dawn into the garden, and he would say, "Anchor the sky, little chick." And, you know, it took me until I began to do acupuncture and saw the windows to the sky that I began to understand what he was talking about. Anchor the sky. And he would point at the sky. And so when we awaken to that amplification of our genetic encoding and the possibilities of that, we're talking about anchoring the sky, allowing that galactic frequency to support our human life and to free us from the smallness and the separation and the fears that we have. And so right now, you know, we are definitely getting a mirroring from our planet about the changes that have to occur. We have to get through the wars that we've had, the confusions that we've had in the past that are influencing the Earth and therefore affecting ourselves. So it's a great time to be on the planet. It may not feel like that to everyone, since our finances, our relationships, our bodies, our awareness are all going through massive changes.
Well, now, do you think this, that we're being confined? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm excited.
That's all right. Good. That's fine.
We are confined. Yeah, it is a good conversation. We're confined by kind of an elite consciousness or a money-based consciousness or all the different theories about
those are all illusions. And, you know, I've had the honor, I've been with many, many, many people when they died. And I can really tell you, you will not be worrying about your finances at the moment of your death or who did you wrong or how you felt unworthy. What will happen is so good.
And you do work with people who are passing. I just want to go back into this kind of elite control of the world. Thinking of mass consciousness, there is a kind of some sort of confinement that's teaching us to stay within a certain boundary that I believe you're teaching us to say, that's just, that's like a big elephant still being tied by a small string, because that's what he learned as a little guy, right?
that's a great image.
Am I right
Absolutely.
About that? Is it that simplistic?
That's right. And you know, the cosmic giggle of that is that we're so willing, because we're comfortable as victims, mm-hmm. so we're so willing to say, you know, the powers that be are squeezing us. And they are, and there are negative forces that are manipulating humans, not only human genetics, but humans on all levels. And we are just learning right now that when we get rid of our fear of each other and we begin to come together, we can change all of that.
Probably
and my
in
higher
a heartbeat,
self always yeah. says, yeah, in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. My higher self always says, the more powerful you are, the more powerful I can be. Mm-hmm. So when we put our potential together, we can do things. And I learned by coming up against the dark forces long ago. They almost got me about three times.
Oh, wow.
And so the lesson was, don't waste your energy on the power struggle, you know, the good and the evil illusion. That's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that stuff. Put your consciousness on what you can, what are the possibilities for you, and what impassions you, what do you care about, what is your purpose in life?
Now, if you're going to go back into acupuncture and all these various things, when in response to what you're speaking about your purpose in life and so on, isn't one of the tools that you use or that we can use is the movement of frequencies? Can we not, like,
yes.
we change the energy, change the reality? Is an old line.
Oh, of course. And you know, there's a very simple. I'll describe it to you right now. There's a very simple way to do that at the speed of light.
Oh, good.
White light exercise. And what it is, talking about drawing in the galactic energy, again, thinking of it in terms of a galaxy, you know, not only our solar system, but an expanding galaxy and beyond. But just, so I use the word cosmic because it's our solar system, our galaxy, our universe, and beyond. But imagine that you could pull in a beam, a laser beam of white light from the cosmos right down through the middle of the top of your head, down into your stomach. Our stomach is the seat of our emotional body and therefore controls our physical body and much of how we see the world, our realities. So you draw that white light down into your stomach, which is called the solar plexus, and it's a solar plexus chakra. And then imagine that you're beaming that white light out through your auric field, beaming it out, so you're stretching out your presence. Stretch it out and then bring it back into the sky. If you do that, breathe in, draw the white light down into your solar plexus, laser it out from you, stretch out your auric field and let it flow back into the sky. What happens then is that all of the constrictions of your auric field, you know, that electromagnetic energy that all living things, including rocks, have, for most people, it's only about maybe a foot off your body. But if you want to really say, I am present, and we all need to stop hiding and say we are present, we want to extend our auric fields. The moment that you pull that white light, why white light? Because the universe is made of light. And white light, there's so many kinds of white light. Most of them are so radiant that we don't see them. But when you stretch that white light, which includes all colors, out from you, your auric field immediately will radiate out from you. And if you're walking someplace or wherever you are, you're going to talk on the phone or whatever you're going to do, it will communicate psychically to everyone else, this is who I am.
Well, you know, I was thinking about how very often we're aligned laterally, aren't we? What's this person doing? What's that person doing? And what you're saying is
beautifully said.
Yeah, well, I just so appreciate your work. Tell me this, that if you work with people in their multidimensional selves, take them through, for example, the rapport with their parents on a soul level, take them through all of those different incarnational things, what does that do? What does that do? Does that unleash or take us
what off. What it does, number one, it frees them from their smallness. They begin to have a sense of self. You know, at the Light Institute, at my Nijoni Institute, which was a school of consciousness, we always recognize that we have 70 senses, not 5 or 6 if they're like you, you know, with that intuitive sense, but 70. One of those senses is sense of self. So what happens is they get to see reality from a male perspective and a female perspective, a galactic perspective, a fool, a healer. They get to perceive themselves in different ways. What happens is that we don't just look at those things. We release all those crystallizations. Hmm. You may have a lifetime as a great leader. We want to release that because it holds you back. You might have been a great leader, but you didn't feel like there was anything wrong with slaughtering everybody who didn't agree with you. Well, that doesn't help us right now. So we release the constrictions, the crystallizations of those experiences, those incarnations of the soul. What happens is that energy comes back to us in pure form. So people find that their life begins to be very synergistic. They're in the right place at the right time. Their whole life begins to change. And they awaken to possibilities. You know, all of our intensives this year are called All Possibilities. Hmm. Because we really need to realize now, we need to go on from survival. We need to go on from my God against your God. We need to go on from the illusion of death.
No. Actually, the word illusion is very big in your brilliant work, isn't it? You know, because
well,
I know we always say
time is an illusion,
and we always say, "Oh, it's all an illusion." And I go, "Yeah, yeah, I understand that." And then I go, "I don't know if I understand that because it's about
well,
how to use
you know,
that."
It's very difficult to think something's an illusion when you have your face in it.
Exactly.
You know, when the bill has to be paid this month. Or the relationship isn't working out, and you can't just get rid of somebody, or et cetera, et cetera. But the illusion is here's the kicker, Veronica. Okay. The illusion is that you're helpless. The illusion is that you don't have choices.
Okay.
You know, I have seen, and there's a lot of suicide going on the planet right now. And I have seen, because I have the gift of looking at, if you want to call it that, spirits. that
I want to call it that. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. You know, connecting with spirits that are entrapped, and especially those that have committed suicide, and to help to release them from that constriction. But the thing is that they commit suicide because of the level of self-hatred and victimization and guilt and sense that they can't get out of their situation. Whether they're a teenager who can't see past that moment or what just happened in Las Vegas, wealthy person whose mind was deranged, and I'm sure his mind was deranged by taking drugs, probably antidepressants, that influence, again, the way we look at the world. And so when I see people in the astral that are stuck there, I have really learned from their experience that it's very important for us right now to realize, no, I'm not the victim. Yes, I have possibilities. And my higher self has been working with me for a number of years now to say, there's not just one truth. How many solutions are there? How many solutions can you dream up and then act on them? And that's the way we want to use our creativity and our minds, because we're caught in this illusion of our intellectual, what my higher self calls our puny little intellectual minds.
I love that.
Rather than our brilliant, brilliant consciousness.
And you're talking about that, just putting it into the sort of 3D reality stuff. You're talking about melting the chemtrails. You're dissipating difficult physical things as well. This is something that we don't think we have a choice to do, but we do, right?
You know, I love that example because we always used to do those things when we were kids. Probably you did too. We'd play with dissolving clouds and stuff like that.
Yes,
you know?
We did too.
And So when, and also at the Light Institute, in some of our intensives, when we have that availability, we do fire walking at the end, just to show us that what you think is impossible is not. So chemtrails are not only a way of showing you that you have not only the possibility, but even the responsibility of changing what is influencing us. Because we know now that chemtrails are filled with aluminum, other metals, other toxins that are raining down and causing a lot of sickness.
Mm-hmm.
There have been reports of pilots who are aware of this who have said, I will not fly anymore. I will not be a pilot. I will not do this.
Wow, really?
And so, yeah, the information about that is very extensive, people want to look that up. But I use it because I have this project called Global Warming Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing in that is that we're gathering, we're just focusing on carbon dioxide right now, but there's more. But we imagine that we're gathering the carbon dioxide molecules, which are causing all this, you know, global warming, and then we demanifest them, because it is a law of a quantum physics that the observed is changed by the observer. Let's clear the chemtrails, because that's something you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see that with your physical eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You look up at that chemtrail and you do the same thing, demanifest, and you imagine that it just, that streak in the sky, just the whole streak, by the way, because I used to laser right into a point and then the chemtrail would separate.
Oh.
There'd be two lines over there and there'd be a hole in the middle.
It's so, like a worm when you cut it in half as a little kid.
Exactly.
But also,
exactly,
you did say in one of the things I was reading, you've got some wonderful writings on your site, incidentally, but you also said we can disperse radiation and that kind,
yes,
of toxic poisoning as well.
Right? Yes, we can. And the thing about radiation is that as the Earth is losing its auric field, its electromagnetic energy at this time, more radiant energy is coming in. And so we must adjust. People are flying now. You know, when you get on a plane, you get dosed, a tremendous dose of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are getting heavy and imbalanced, because their thyroids aren't working anymore, because the thyroids are very sensitive to radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is, again, harvest the radiation, utilize it, rather than having it, you know, disturbing us.
I like that
so
idea. So how?
Yeah, well, the way that my higher self has taught that is, again, it's an exercise in consciousness that comes. I learned this from a physicist. It's focused on the figure eight of white light. The electrons in our cells move in a figure eight of white light multidimensionally. And so that's what happens when we hurt ourselves or have a disease, or we have free radicals. This is a description of free radicals. The electrons come barreling out of that figure eight patterning and bump into the next one and the next and the next and cause this stuff. They say that's how Jesus the Christ and many good healers always did their atomic healing.
Hmm.
So all you do is you imagine this figure eight of white light faster and faster and faster. You can put it over a part of your body, or you could imagine it in the nucleus of the cell. And so when you do that, you bring radiation into balance, and you allow yourself to really amplify being a radiant being. But again, that first exercise I was talking about, drawing the white light in and lasering it out, that's what I say is practicing the art of radiance. Because that light that you're pulling through you is radiant light. And that's what we need. We need to be more radiant and more expansive now, so that it's easy for us to dip into multi-dimensions and realize that, yes, the rocks are alive and the fairies are alive and the trees are alive. And what is our relationship to Mother Earth?
I just want to stop you for 1 second. You're saying, I think I understand, and I want to understand this, that the radiance is coming through from universes, really,
yes.
And we are we're being taught to embody it, but we can also use it in new ways. Is that what that is?
Exactly, exactly.
I'm excited about that, Chris.
Absolutely, because really, that makes life so much more interesting. You know, the very first thing that I always taught my students was, don't wait. You know, people get so impatient. They're impatient to feel a purpose or to have something happen or get out of the problem that they have. And I always say, wait, do not wait for something. Look around you and begin to use your presence to communicate. And that's what creates synergy. And that's the magnet that pulls energy to you that allows you to have new ideas, to have new experiences. Imagine, as we are doing in these intensives, awakening the galactic DNA, what happens when suddenly you do have a sense of conversation or a sense of presence of a higher galactic consciousness.
Hmm.
That definitely moves your life.
So how do you feel about, like, humanity as the number of beings willing to awaken and choose, I think the word awaken is appropriate here, and choose mm-hmm. to radiate at a higher level and so on. It's a growing force, is it not?
Exponentially. It's growing, growing, growing because of people like you.
And do you think
all over the world?
Do you think we're done with karma? Meaning, can we get ourselves radiating beyond the attachments of karma?
No. And I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because let me give you a broader view of that.
Okay.
We tend to use the word karma as, okay, you did that, so now you're going to get punished for it, basically mm-hmm. in a negative way. But even
with
if you did it in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
you know, karma is simply a cosmic law of cause and effect, action and reaction. We will never get off the wheel of karma because we will always incarnate. So those ideas that some people have put out is, oh, lucky you, you're on your last incarnation, is an illusion, because if the universe did not take from the unmanifest and push it through the veil of manifestation, the whole universe would collapse.
Hmm.
The divine source grows through us. So we will always incarnate, not always in human bodies, and we will always use as part of our evolution whatever we've worked with before.
Hmm.
And the problem with humans is that we're so bound by these illusions that have been given to us by our religions, by our cultures, that squeeze us, that are all about guilt and blame and punishment. You know, we have to come very quickly now on this planet to moving beyond punishment.
Yeah, self-punishment is one of the most dangerous things, isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The worst of all,
mm-hmm.
because that's what limits us and doesn't allow us to stretch out into who we really are. Humans are good. We are good. And so what we need to recognize is that if this is a law of cause and effect, how can you count, never mind your infinite incarnations of the soul, how many thoughts, actions, gestures you have done in this lifetime that are good, that have helped, been helpful, that have radiated out of you and changed someone? A smile at a stranger. In this book that I'm writing, I'm talking about one of our senses, which is touch. I heard this the other day from some other authority, medical authority, that talked about something, made me laugh because I've been talking about it for years. when you touch somebody, you activate their serotonin levels.
Uh-huh.
And the serotonin levels in the brain.
Well, that sure makes sense, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It makes people without even knowing. So I touch strangers. I touch everything. You know, it makes them have the availability, the possibility of feeling peaceful, feeling safe, feeling connected and happy. Because serotonin says everything is fine. Look out at the world. Everything is good.
Wow.
That's what we need.
And I often say that when people are seen and known, if you look right at somebody, they can feel mm-hmm. known and actually experience a healing and awakening as well.
That's
Do you agree
right.
with that? Yeah.
And you look at them with love, with the eyes of love. I used to teach a course called Transmission. And I would say some people transmit through their eyes, some transmit through their hands, some transmit through a different level of consciousness. You know, we have many ways of transmitting something. And my higher self always taught me to be the mirror, you know, to mirror for somebody else, whether it's what I said to them or the look I gave them or whatever it was. So when you, that's what you were talking about when you said they feel known.
Yeah.
And when people feel from you a sense of admiration that you actually are looking at them, acknowledging them, and actually seeing in them. I love that movie. What was that, Avatar?
Yes.
All of my life I've said to people, I see you.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, you really have that vibration. Also, you have that vibration. Do we all have to do past lives, or do you think that being aware is enough? Like, what do we have to do to...
Well, I think that's a great question. I think awareness, I wouldn't even call it awareness, I would call it consciousness. And I would never say past lives, because what I have learned in 62 years is that your own higher self, your own inner voice, will never show you a lifetime that isn't going on now,
mm-hmm.
and usually with the same people.
Oh,
so, and the qualities that you have now, or the you know, the limitations that you have now, what exploration of incarnations does, it shows you the source, and that makes it really easy to release it. I started out in psychology, and I realized that you could use your mind, you could say, I will not be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd walk out or turn on the television, and there would be people fighting and arguing, you know, everywhere around you. That's your emotional body sticking out its tongue at you and saying, oh, really? Okay, you're not angry. But
you're
that energy
arrogant
is in
character,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that energy is in you, and it's just being reflected by everything outside you. So we have to change. We have to go back to the source, not just put a Band-Aid on it and say, I can talk about it or I can think about it, and that makes it different. It does. If you talk about it with someone who, you know, knows how to talk about your psychological or emotional energies, it will make you feel better, and you might even be able to release some of your bad habits or something, but it will not change your karma.
Mm-hmm.
It will, because you have to touch the source. And that's why I'm still doing this 62 years later. I started at 14, and I'm still doing it because I find it the quickest way to enlighten ourselves.
And
but
the
of course,
process is infinite, isn't it?
Very intimate, because it comes from you.
Well,
it
I was thinking
come
infinite
from anybody
as well.
Outside you.
Like intimate, mm-hmm. but also infinite, right?
Infinite, infinite. And we are infinite. So I always say, you know, why would you not invest in yourself? At the Light Institute, we do intensives on ourselves about 3 times a year.
Wow.
So that we can really say, oh, here's this wall that's coming up, whether, again, is this a financial wall, is it an emotional wall of some kind, or a spiritual wall? How do we get through that, above it, below it, around it, yeah, directly passing through it, the many ways?
Hmm.
And so I said, why do we not invest in ourselves when that kind of illumination really changes the third dimension? It changes how we walk in the world. But would I say that, you know, you have to do incarnational work? Well, of course I wouldn't say that. But I would say it's the best tool I have found. In all my ways, you know, I did acupuncture. I've done many, many ways of touching our sense of self or our bodies, etc. And now we're opening up to this expansive way. And I think it's very important for your listeners to know we have human DNA. We have Devic DNA, which means that, of course, we know this. You are part shark, part rock, part tree. You know, all of that is within you. What could you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the world very much, and this is why I'm talking about chemtrails, the world, this Gaia, very much needs us to rebalance our karma, the things that we have done in the past. With the earth and really help the earth, because the earth is going through a tremendous shaking right now. The poles have been off for over 10 years, wobbling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Even NASA agrees with that. And so we can participate, and we must participate
mm-hmm.
in that, and it'll give us such a sense of peace. We have angelic DNA. They are our cousin species. And we have galactic DNA. And as we begin to work with that. I describe those and really kind of how you could do a short course yourself at looking at those in a book called Soul Bodies.
Soul Bodies. Mm-hmm.
Soul Bodies. Mm-hmm. That really says, look, we have, again, what is your galactic body, or how many galactic bodies have you carried, or what are the devic bodies you've carried? Hmm. You know, that one is really interesting, the spirit of nature, and the angelic ones, and how accessing that, or even, you know, again, directing your consciousness to those possibilities, how that influences your sense of self and therefore what you magnetize to yourself.
It could really harmonize you with great concepts of empowerment, right?
That's right.
You're saying we have it.
Absolutely. And empowerment, we're the only ones that empower ourselves. Mm-hmm. So no healer
but
really
heals anybody
else.
If you've got galactic DNA, well, I guess what I'm sort of expecting.
Which everyone does.
Yeah, if we
everyone
have all
does,
that
yeah.
and we learn to mm-hmm. accept that that is a truth, mm-hmm. wow, that's mm-hmm. a big empowerment instead of waiting for the ETs
yeah.
to come and save us. Or
that's right. But what would happen is that you might open up, which we need to do right now, to calling that energy in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was young, this is very funny, when I was young, because I always knew that was a part of my purpose, looking for a place where I could create this mark on Earth where galactics would be magnetized to it, and the best and the brightest, listen to the humor of this, the best and the brightest, are we not all the best and brightest? The best and brightest humans could come there, and the galactics and the humans could connect, and that would begin to show us how we could get rid of our problems on the planet.
I and love that. Well, I don't think that's so weird.
Well, it's really very funny to think that it's a place. So what happened is that after years of tromping around in the middle of nowhere, calling and having some fairly intense galactic experiences, by the way, my higher self finally said, it's not a place. It's a point of reference in your consciousness.
Uh-huh,
you know? And that's why I'm doing it now this way, mm-hmm. why I've been given this, awaken the galactic DNA and say yes instead of, ooh, these terrible, you know, look at the films, the last few films, they saw the galactics as octopies.
I know.
I mean, come on. Yes, they may have lizard forms, octopi forms, whatever forms.
But they're threatening in most of the films.
Yeah,
threatening.
You know, and we never really get to harvest them. It's all about them harvesting us because we like the boogeyman. We like to be afraid.
And we're dualistic.
Instead of, wow, I am that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I like that very much.
And also that we have many bodies. Just, again, in my work, just saying, go into a lifetime, for example. This is an essence kind of session. Go into a lifetime if you're a female as a male. And look at your sexuality, giving that males have always, from the time of beginning to create gods, been terrified of women because men cannot create life.
You know.
Directly, physically. You know, I mean, they do. They perform the sperm dance there. But we didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Until very recently did we.
That they're afraid of women. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're afraid of them because women had, they bled and they produced babies and men couldn't do that. It's not to take away all of our belief systems, but we have the right and the prerogative right now to say, wait, is this about today's truth or is this about the truth of our great, 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 great ancestors?
Mm-hmm.
Who lived in tribes who had very limited possibilities of reality, you know,
mm-hmm.
some levels.
I bet
so
you there were always shamanic.
Here.
There were always shamanic characters in the middle of it all, too, weren't there, though?
They were.
Mm-hmm.
There were shamanic characters. In fact, but I have to say, that's how we got to guilt and blame.
Uh-huh.
You know, imagine, and I wrote a book, in fact, it's the last book I wrote called The Evolution of God. And I'm talking about the very first time primordial humans came up with that concept. And what happened is that someone like you, for example, would suddenly feel a conscious awareness or connection to rain or sun or earth or something. And then they go back and say, this is happening, and I will be the intermediary. Hmm. This is called shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
And I will connect to this god of rain or this god of the volcano or whatever it is. And then as they connected, they said, well, we have to offer something or the gods will be angry at us. And so we offered food, we offered this and that. But what very quickly the shaman figured out was, if I say I'm talking to the god of rain and it doesn't rain, you're going to think it's something with me. So they immediately began to say, it's your fault. You didn't give enough sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept bigger and bigger ones until we started killing ourselves and saying, well, surely that will please the gods. We will kill life.
Mm-hmm.
We went from animals to humans. And that should do it. And so very cleverly, the shamans began to realize that they had to find a way to make sure that if it didn't happen the way they said it was going to happen, they could put the blame and guilt upon the general public. Otherwise, the tribe would get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about empowering themselves, right?
It's all about safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about survival. In the very simplest ways. And unfortunately,
it's all about job security.
Yes, you said job security, exactly. And we're still replaying that today, aren't we?
We sure are, in a massive way. Unfortunately, we have to end this shortly, and I would love to talk with you about a whole number of these different subjects, but why don't you tell our listeners how they can tune into your activities around the world or your latest books that you're writing, your books.
Well,
you
can find me on YouTube. I have many conversations that come on YouTube. I have many books. We have The Light at lightinstitute.com, chrisgriscom.com. We have intensives. You can come and do sessions at The Light Institute. You can read these books and try out a lot of these, what I call exercises in consciousness, that will help you to expand your consciousness and begin to see yourself in a different way. Of course, from my perspective, coming to an intensive is, it's the cat's meow.
Mm-hmm.
Why not invest in yourself? It will change your life. When you come to an intensive, I'm here. And once I see you and connect with you, that continues forever. You don't need me, but I am an instigator of showing you. Everything's about you. At the Light Institute, it's not about us. It's not about the facilitator. It's not about me. We are here to hold the light and to mirror for you. You've got it. You have it. You just forgot.
You are an activator, Miss Chris, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What a wonderful job you have.
I love my job.
I know, you should. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for tuning into Paradigm Shifters, and I know you enjoyed Chris, and soon the podcasts will be up on my site, veronicaentwistle.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and maybe even on yours.
It will, for sure.
Thank you again,
Chris. I love talking to you. Thank you for the gift that you give the world, Veronica.
And thank you for
maybe
your
we'll
gifts.
We'll talk again.
I like that. Thank you.
Great love to you all.
And good
bye-bye.
Love. Bye.